The following podcast is a part of the Spin Studio Network.
This is Happy Hour with Lucy and Nikki.
I started thinking that I was like a yogi, like in bunny ears, because I started getting asked to go and teach events and retreats worldwide. And I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. Like, this is such a bad idea. And I had such bad imposter syndrome and I felt like a fraud.
Cheers, babes. Welcome to Happy Hour with Lucy and Nikki. The real life shit you only discuss over a drink. But before we start, a little disclaimer. So we are here for a good time and not a long time. So if you're easily offended, then...
Scram-dooski,
baby.
No, I don't think if you're offended, you won't be today because we've got a very beautiful...
Sweet angel, I would call
sweet
her.
Sweet angel called Sijana Elise.
Not to be mistaken for Sijana, which I called her about 50 times during the podcast.
Yeah, so you might have seen her on Instagram. Her name, it's spelt Sijana, but it's Sijana Elise. She's one of the OG Instagals.
She really is. Yeah. She kind of rose to fame in the Instagram scene back in 2013 when it was really, you know, OG, as you said.
As I said, she's like an incredible yogi and she kind of like touches on that first, which I found really interesting. Because, yeah, that's how also her Instagram following kind of grew. So that's how I came across her. I was like, who is this little bendy lord?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A bendy,
bendy
lord.
Lord is exactly the word. But, no, she's actually just released a book, which we speak about as well, and it's just got lots and lots of what do they even call them?
Like affirmations kind
yeah.
of.
Like lots of poems and affirmations and just things that she's, like a collection of things that she has written over the last 7 years.
Her book is called You Will Rise and it says Seek, Soothe and Soar. And yeah, it's like a really beautiful coffee table kind of style book. And she talks about that, talks about her recent breakup, talks about her year. And then also just a lot about, you know, like her career and, you know, the way she's kind of navigated her way through life. She suffered from fairly severe depression for many, many years and has kind of really overcome that. And she talks a lot about that. It's a really interesting
It's really
listen.
Interesting. Yeah.
It's really like insightful and uplifting. And
inspiring.
Inspiring. So without further ado, let's bring her in.
Welcome, Sijana.
Hi, it's pronounced Sijana, but you did a really good attempt.
Oh my God, are you kidding me?
We were talking about this off air before. We're like, what is it? Sijana, Sijana? I'd have no idea.
Yeah, no one can ever get it. It's Sijana, like banana, but you can call me SJ if it makes it easier.
Oh, I like cute. That. SJ.
I'm going to call you Sijana Banana.
Okay, you can do that as well. Reminds me of primary school.
Yay. Well, we always start the podcast, Sijana, with what is your wildest story? And you've just told us off air that you don't drink, so I'm like wildly impressed.
Yeah, good for you. Oh, there's your alarm.
Well, maybe my wildest story is that I don't drink then. Is that a thing? Maybe that's,
I think that's
maybe
fairly
that's so sad.
I think that's fairly wild, yeah. Babe. That's very rare to be a non, like, complete non-drinker. So I think that's pretty wild. Good for you.
I honestly don't know. Like, I don't know. I'm sure there's heaps of stories that would probably be considered wild. But I don't think before I do a lot of things. So, or after I do a lot of things either. So I don't, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Life's pretty wild.
I love that. Well, let's just stick to the not drinking one because we're still, you know, absolutely shooketh by that. So good for you. So tell us a bit about yourself, babe. So for anyone that might not know you, who you are or follow you or anything, tell us about you and who you are.
Hi, I'm Sijana Banana, apparently, and I'm 25. I am just a bit of a – I'm a hugger. I'm definitely a hugger.
Oh, cute.
And
I'm
just a bit of a sunshine-seeking – I'm such a hugger. Like, not being able to hug you guys in person right now is really hard. 2020's been a hard year.
Yeah.
Most of it is that.
2020 wouldn't be easy for a hugger.
No. Are you not huggers?
No, we're actually not at all, to be honest. We've been best friends for 10 years
and
I reckon we've
hugged
twice.
We're huggers but not towards each other. It's really weird.
You're not a hugger.
I love cuddling.
You love cuddling like your love interest. That's it. You don't cuddle other people.
Yeah, no, not really. Except when I'm really lit. Maybe.
I was going to say, does it change if you're drunk?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Way more snuggly. I'm kidding.
So
the never ends your best friend.
Keep telling us more about you. So you're a hugger. You live in Newcastle.
Yeah, from Nui. Born and raised here. Moved to the Gold Coast for a little while when I was 18. And then moved back. I love Newcastle, but I travel normally, aside from this year, majority of the year, normally like 80, 90% of the time anyway. So it's just kind of like a home base, and then I'll be touch and go for most of the time. I teach yoga and I love it. I love, love, love it. I feel like that's my dharma, that's my calling and my purpose here. And now I'm also a published author, which just sounds insane coming out of my
mouth.
How cool
is that?
Yeah,
that's
so amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Tell us about the book. Like, tell everyone at home who doesn't know what it is, because it's just like all these like beautiful. Like, did you write everything that's in it? Obviously.
Yeah. So I love writing. I went through bad depression in like my mid to late teens and found writing and yoga as a form of catharsis and self healing and soul soothing, and it just kind of stuck. And then before I knew it, I'd written a book and just had to compile it together and get it published. So it's a 328 page hardcover.
How cool is that?
It feels so random and so bloody cool to say it. 328 page hardcover, so it's like perfect for like a coffee table book. And it's got like this beautiful white kind of like textured covering. It just feels really coastal, I suppose, as well. So I like that personally. And it's just filled with poems and photography as well. So poems that I've written over the past 7 years, everything from healing and the depths of my depression, love, lost heartbreak, absolutely every kind of human emotion that you can think of. It's just like an unfiltered diary, really. It's like everything is in there, and it's the most vulnerable thing that I've ever shared, which is kind of big because I'm a pretty open book, so there's no secrets there.
No pun intended.
And yeah.
See what you did there?
And then the photography is just photos as well that I've captured on my travels over the last 6 years.
I love that.
So what's your favourite? Have you got like a favourite poem or piece from the book?
Everyone asks this. Not really. Not one in particular. And I think that's my favourite thing about the whole book, is that there's something in there for every mood and every emotion. And so every day there's like something different that I need from it or that I'm seeking from it. And so I like to just play that game where you just like close your eyes, set an intention maybe, and then open up to a random page and just trust that that's what I needed to hear or read that day.
Oh, that's beautiful. That. I'm going to give that a go. We've got a copy of your book, so I'm going to give it a go.
It's an easier way to read it than by going cover to cover.
Yeah, fully. And so you were saying that you obviously suffered from some pretty severe depression. Have you, like, would you say you've kind of come out of that now? And how did you kind of change your mindset to be so positive and happy? Because your Instagram definitely kind of shows a really, like, a happy vibe for sure.
Yeah, I think I'm one of the happiest people that I know now.
Oh, that's good.
It was a journey, though. Like, it took a long time, and even like everyone has feeling of different emotions of sadness, but I'm not any longer depressed, which is I feel so good to be free of that and to have it. I can still empathize with people who are going through it, and I can remember the sensations and the feelings and the darkness of it, but it's I'm no longer hindered by it, and it's not heavy on my chest anymore. I guess coming out of it was a couple of things. So I had the support systems always. So I had really close family and friends who were there for me unconditionally whenever I needed them. But I didn't want them, and I didn't want to heal for a long time. I guess anyone who's been through any kind of anxiety, depression, you probably know what I mean when I say that it's like a morbid comfort. Like it's so familiar that it seems safe, even though it's definitely not. So I didn't utilize those for a while. I went and saw probably like 15 or 20 different psychologists and psychiatrists over the years. I even went to a couple of hypnotherapists, and none of it really stuck, because I didn't want to heal, and you can't force someone to heal. And so the real shift started happening when I was in an inpatient stay in Sydney, actually. I'd been there for a while, and I was in a group therapy session, and I just looked around, and there were so many different people in there for so many different reasons, of all different ages, and like every single thing that you could think of. And I just remember thinking, like, I don't want to be like this anymore. I don't want this to define me. And so I just, yeah, just, it sounds so cliche, but it was literally like a light bulb moment. And I just told myself, no, I'm not going to do this anymore. And I'm going to do whatever it takes to remember what it feels like to be truly, genuinely happy and to be able to smile and laugh and feel it actually bubbling up from inside of me rather than just masking it.
So that's really interesting. Mm. So from that point onwards, like, what kind of steps did you take to achieve that? Like, I'm actually really interested.
I think firstly, it's such a personal journey that what works for one person isn't necessarily going to work for another. But in saying that, there's definitely things that are probably universally helpful.
Yeah.
So first and foremost would probably be compassion for yourself and just forgiveness, like constant forgiveness and understanding that you need to release all the expectations, or I needed to release all the expectations that I had in order to just embody the present moment. And then talking about, I guess, yoga comes into play then, and any kind of healing remedy that you find that you love. So for me, it was yoga. It was getting out in nature, going for longer walks or jogs, and being creative, like making things with my hands. That always really helped, and writing as well. So those were kind of my modes, but everyone's different. So for some people, it could be like surfing, or it might be rock climbing, or it might be, I don't know, like meditating for 7 hours a day. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Maybe it's even going out with your girlfriends and just getting plastered. Like, it literally doesn't matter, whatever works
for
you.
That sounds like that would probably work for me. I feel like that would be my therapy.
You probably need to do less of that.
But at the same time, you actually have to confront the feelings. You have to, like, feel them to heal them. You can't just go out and get plastered and expect that for the moment, when the moments or the hours when you're drunk, you just can forget about it, because then you have to face it again the next day, especially if you're hungover.
Yeah, feels. Current feels for me at the moment, actually. I'm a bit hungover today. I'm just soaking up all your positive, radiant vibes.
I love that. So did you start yoga at that time, like after you went to that therapy session, or had you already been practicing?
Well, I did one class when I was like 12. I think I did a Bikram class because it was so hot and sweaty. It was like carpeted floors. It felt icky. And I was like, this isn't my thing. Like, I'll just stick to gymnastics or something. I don't know, like go cartwheel on the beach. And then, yeah, so during the healing process, I think I was about 18 when I found yoga, and it was from Instagram, actually. I just find random poses of girls online doing what I assumed was yoga. And I had a background in gymnastics, and so our whole family was very sporty and active and fit growing up. And so I missed being able to contort my body in certain ways. But I was mostly strong as a gymnast. I wasn't flexible. I wasn't like inflexible, but I definitely wasn't as flexible as I am now. And so I had to work on that a fair bit. And so some poses I could do, especially the handstands. I always loved handstands. Mm-hmm. And then some poses I couldn't. So I would go to the beach. I was studying photojournalism at uni at the time. And yeah, I'd go to the beach for sunrise. I'd go down to, what is it, Fingal Beach, where there's like no one there, and set up a tripod and, yeah, take self-timed yoga photos on the beach and started posting them to Instagram. And so that's kind of how it started. But then it kind of escalated, and people started thinking that I was like a yogi, like in bunny ears, because I started getting asked to go and teach events and retreats worldwide. And I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. Like, this is such a bad idea. And I had such bad imposter syndrome, and I felt like a fraud. So I had to go and do my teacher training. And that was when I really found what yoga was, by doing the initial 200-hour training, which is just like the basic level. It's all you need to do, really, to be able to teach yoga. But you learn so much about yourself and about the philosophy and how it all ties in together, and how much more you have to learn, and how much ego is in pretty much everything that we do, and being able to soften and surrender that is, yeah, I reckon everyone should do a yoga teacher training.
Wow.
Everyone.
Yeah, I feel like I could definitely do with a bit of yoga teacher training in my life.
I feel like that 100% would be super beneficial. Get onto
it. Well, that's so interesting that that's how it started for you, like kind of just like doing poses. and like taking photos and then like kind of realizing what it was about. Cause like, yeah, I guess usually people just kind of start going to classes and figuring it out, but that's really interesting. So how quickly did your Instagram kind of grow? Like, when was like your first big post?
It wasn't just like a single post. I think it was, I hate to say it, but it was kind of like an OG Instagram account, I suppose.
Oh, definitely.
There was, yeah, there was like a handful, especially of Aussies. I think there was an influx of us at the time who just kind of had accounts that took off, and it was, if you were, you know, like back in the day, the Explore page as it is now was called the Popular page.
Yeah, totally.
It had a different formula and a different way of working. And so it was kind of like a game if you understood how to play it right. It was like you can post at certain times, and if you get a certain amount of likes in a certain amount of time after it had been posted, your post would hit the Popular page, which meant that everyone who had Instagram would see it rather than just how it's now curated specifically for you and what you want to see. So, yeah, Instagram grew so quickly back in the day. That was like, what, 2013, I guess, 2012, 13, mm-hmm. when it all kind of started. And then, yeah, and then it was just like, it was so overwhelming because it wasn't a thing. Like, no one knew that that could be a career and stuff. And I was trying to, I really like the creative aspect of social media, and I like going and getting the photos and writing the long captions. Mm. I guess the ability to resonate with so many people and to connect with other people in that way. And that was where I first started sharing my writings as well. And so then, yeah, just the feedback that I got from people was wonderful, I suppose. And that's what kept me doing it, was the fact that I wasn't doing it necessarily just for me. I was doing it because I knew that it was able to impact and hopefully help other people as well.
Yeah, for sure. Because like I know it's so different now. Like, I feel like, yeah, like having an OG Instagram account, like, and actually seeing, you know, if, even if someone like would repost you, like, you'd actually see like crazy follow through and stuff, whereas now it's just like so different.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
wild.
100%.
What do you think that the best thing about having an Instagram following is?
Now it's always, I guess, it's a bit of a mix of the ability to like create fun or just content that isn't for other people. Like I like being able to express ideas and thoughts, patterns, and yeah, things through like captions, and really just being able to, as ironic as it sounds, like I know that social media is supposed to be about connection, and then a lot of people say that it's not, you're not able to connect with people at all, but you are. Like I've met so many of my best friends through social media, and some of which I haven't even ever met in person, and I feel so close to them, and like we'll FaceTime and chat all the time.
Wow.
But it's, yeah, and I'm sure everyone has something like that or a couple of people like that. And so I think that's probably my favorite thing about it. 100%.
It definitely makes the world feel a lot smaller, doesn't it? Because you just have that kind of instant connection and like accessibility to anyone, anywhere in the world.
Yeah. And when like you travel, or when we used to travel, you could run into people not just from, I guess like back in the heyday before social media, it would have been like you travel and you'd run into people that you know from your hometown. You'd be like, this is so random. But now it's like you can run into people from all over the place and you're never alone, which is really cool.
Yeah, super cool for sure. So since you started your social media, did you say it was back in like 2013 that you kind of really started working on it? What would you say has been your biggest kind of career highlight, pinch me moment, like so far?
Oh, good question. There's been so many. I think it was really humbling actually to just at the start of this year, which might be why I'm using this as the answer because it's so fresh in my memory, but I got to teach the world's first yoga class just to like a small group of people on the Burj Al Arab helicopter pad. So like up, I think it was like 38 stories or something in Dubai, overlooking the entire ocean epic. And the whole coast. It was insane. It was so cool. So that was pretty wonderful. Yeah. But it's just
really
the little
cool
things as well. Like you don't have to be teaching. Yeah. But the, like just connecting with people in a coffee shop, or like having someone recognize you, mean like, hey, and then you start a conversation and you end up going on adventures with them because they know that like it's their hometown, they can show you around. Like that to me is just as awesome.
Wow. So you've done that before. Like you'll like if like a follower comes up to you and recognizes you, will you like then go and hang out with them? If like has that actually happened before?
Oh, 100%. If I have time, 100%. That's my favorite part about traveling.
I love that for you. Like we meet so many of our followers, but like we've never actually kind of like, you know, then gone and spent like heaps of time with them or anything. Maybe at a festival when we're lit.
But you don't remember.
Oh, that's so funny.
So before we continue, we just wanted to have a quick chat about today's sponsor, Tropica. Tropica is loved around the world for helping people conquer the day the healthy way.
They have delicious and powerful proteins, BCAAs, protein energy bars, superfoods and teas with organic ingredients that are gluten-free, dairy-free and soy-free, vegan-friendly and non-GMO.
By now, you queens would know how much we love our Tropica products, and we just wanted to take a minute to talk about one of our new favourite products, the acai powder.
Yeah, so we've been using it to make our acai bowls, and it's so easy. We just add 1 tablespoon of the acai berry powder, frozen banana and berries, and a splash of fresh juice into our blender, and it makes the perfect acai bowl that we just pour into a cute bowl and top with our favourite toppings like granola, fruit, and coconut. Even a bit of dark chocolate or peanut butter, we feel like being a little bit naughty.
Shit, that is fresh. Especially now that the weather's warming up too, we love them. So you can just add it to your smoothies too, or put your fave lean protein in with the acai for a little bit of an extra protein kick. Vanilla is always our go-to protein flavor.
Yum. So to get your hands on some of our favorite products, the team have given us a little Dizzy code for 15% off your first order with Tropica. So just use the code HAPPYHOUR15 at the checkout at tropica.com.au or tropica.com to get their range of powerful nutrition.
And they even ship worldwide, so get on it, queens. And obviously with social media, there can come some really kind of, well, not always, but there is some negative kind of elements to social media too. What would you say, have you ever had any really negative, like nasty experiences with having an Instagram following or...?
Not necessarily, no. Right from the get-go, I kind of set a standard for myself that I wanted my page to be a place of positivity and empowerment of each and every person, and that included myself. And so if there was ever any negativity or like anyone posted something, I don't know, just mean or unnecessary, I would just delete the comment. And if they persisted and like wrote, "Why did you delete my comment?" or something like that, I would just block them because I didn't have time for that. And back in the day, everyone was like, "That's so harsh."
Yeah, just like don't even buy into it.
Yeah, but now I think it's more common because it's like, no, like if you don't want to hear that and you don't want to have that on your page, you don't need to. But in saying that, I don't receive at all, at all anymore. I used to get a little bit about being too thin back in the day, but like, I've always known that. I know that I'm doing the right thing for me, and you can never please anyone. So what's that saying? Like you could be the biggest, ripest, juiciest peach and there'll always be someone who doesn't like peaches.
Yes, I love that saying.
Me too. Who doesn't like peaches though?
Is that Roald Dahl?
Was that Roald Dahl?
Was it? I don't know. I think it might have been. Or maybe I'm totally kooking that. I have no idea. Don't trust anything I say.
You're like, don't hold me to that. We had another question came through that I thought was awesome. What is the best piece of advice that you have ever received?
Best piece of advice is probably from one of my friends who this year, actually, I was in a bit of a rut. So I called him up and I was like, "Yo, I need some of your wisdom." Like he's always got these perfect little pearl or one-liners. And I was like, "Give me one. Like you don't even know what I'm going through right now, but I know that you're going to tell me what I need to hear." And he took a couple of seconds and he was like, "All right, give less Fs." And I was like, "Okay, well done." So I think that just like learning to let go of everything is probably the best piece of advice I've ever gotten.
That's a good one.
I love that. And another one, if you could give advice to your younger self, what would it be?
I've been asked this before and I think I'm going to have to answer the same is my younger self knew so much better than current self does. So I would have to reverse it and get her to give me advice because kids just live so well. Like you look at a child playing and you're just like, you have no worries in the entire world. How can I be more like that? So I think if anything, I'm more inspired by my younger self.
So true. When you're young, you just have such, you know, like everything is exciting. Like, remember that feeling of like being young and you might be like going on a overseas holiday with your family and you're just like so excited that you can't even sleep.
Think of Christmas. Like, yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. And you wake up like 2 o'clock.
Like, do people get that excited about anything?
The Easter Bunny, I was convinced that I found the Easter Bunny's footprints when now I know that it was actually just like the part in the carpet where the couch had been moved. And so there was like an imprint, but I was convinced that it was the Easter Bunny's footprints.
I used to be, when I was at, I used to be like obsessed with fairies. And I remember we'd go up to Cairns like for Christmas and stuff, and we'd be driving through the rainforest and shit you not, I'd be like dead set, just like looking so hard for fairies. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, you're just like so convinced.
Did you ever find any?
No, Dale, didn't find any, unfortunately.
No, but like as a kid, you convince yourself that you do.
Yeah, fully.
Yeah.
I miss the innocence of being a kid and just like the carefree kind of way that you live life. Like, all you really think about when you're a kid is literally that day and exactly what you're doing right there in that day. You're very present. Yeah, you're never thinking about the future.
Yeah, you don't even need to worry about like what you're going to eat for lunch, because it literally just arrives on your lap.
Yeah, so true.
Mems. Actually, that's kind of like Uber Eats now though, isn't it?
I was actually at my auntie's on the weekend, and they live in the middle of a small town, and I'm like, had a real realization. I'm like, how do they live here without Uber Eats?
Oh my God.
Like, it would be hard.
We're just so lucky that we can live somewhere that where everything's so conveniently accessible. Blessed. Yeah.
So, mental note, never move off grid. So you can always get Uber Eats.
Well, speaking of, what is your diet like, Sianna? Like, are you vegan, and what's your kind of like, you know, what's like a day in the life of like your
what
kind
I eat
of,
in a day?
What you eat in a day?
Welcome to an audible YouTube channel.
Literally.
No, I guess, yeah, I do eat plant-based or plant-abundant, which I guess is vegan. But I don't really resonate with like the cult mentality almost of like veganism, especially on social media and stuff. I respect people who choose to use that term, and I respect people who choose to eat meat as well. So it doesn't, I'm not forcing my beliefs onto anyone. So I just say plant-based or plant abundant. I'm also celiac. I've been celiac since birth. So I have to eat gluten-free as well, which sucks, but now there's so many better gluten-free alternatives.
Wow, and you've been like that your whole life.
Yeah, I was born borderline to thrive. So, like, I lost weight in the first 9 months of my life because I was getting wheat through my mum's breast milk. My body just can't process it, and it can't absorb nutrients right if I've been eating wheat. So I could eat 14 Weet-Bix when I think I was 8 months old, and I would scream for more because I was so insatiable.
So that's pretty crazy. So you're plant-based celiac. So what kind of foods?
Yeah, literally tell us what you would eat in a day.
I'm really interested.
All right. Well, it's different every day because I just eat whatever my body feels like and based off whatever's in the fridge and whatnot. But breakfast regular is either probably like a packed avocado toast with like hemp seeds and a beetroot sauerkraut, maybe some mushrooms and spinach, that kind of thing, or even just like a Vegemite. Yum. And they've got a gluten-free Vegemite now, which is so good. There never used to be a gluten-free one. Gluten-free Vegemite and avocado. Like, that's the simplest thing ever. Or acai bowls. I'm a huge acai bowl fanatic. I think I've been addicted for, 6 years now. Well and well addicted. Then lunch is anything that's probably either like leftovers in the fridge, or I'll cook up like some kind of a stir fry or a big Buddha bowl salad, like everything from chickpeas, quinoa, salad, tomatoes, like everything. Or like some rice paper rolls, chuck it all inside a rice paper roll in some peanut satay dipping sauce. Yeah, that's where I feel like I should go make that right after this potty, actually.
Literally.
Yeah. And then dinner, I've actually just moved back into, I moved back into the family home in January. I haven't been back home in ages. Like, I moved out when I was 17, just about 10, 18. I went to Queensland. And then I've been back every now and then just in between places. but I haven't been back for a solid while. And I moved back thinking that I would be traveling anyway, and I was so overpaying rent to not be there.
Yeah,
for, like,
totally.
Paying rent for an apartment when I was traveling all the time. And then COVID came and I'm like, oh no.
So, oh my God, and you're I'm stuck sorry, there. Em. How are you coping with no travel?
Oh, it's different, that's for sure.
Because, yeah, but you travel a lot. Like, you do you spend a lot of time in Hawaii?
Hawaii, Bali, anywhere. Yeah, anywhere else, really. I don't like winter at all. So this is the first winter that I've had in, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years, like a long time, which was hard. It was really hard. I had to go and buy myself a blue light. Do you know what they are?
No.
They're like it's called a sad light. And it's for seasonal affective disorder. And so when you get really sad and/or depressed in winter, and it's because the lack of sunshine. And so there's this artificial sun that comes in a light that you just put by your laptop and you sit in front of it for like an hour.
That's so cool. I've never even heard of that before.
It helps a lot.
That's crazy.
It helps a lot. So, yeah, didn't think that I would be able to get through it, but I did. And then now we're on the rise again and we're going back to summer.
I know. How good. And how's it living back with your parents again? Like, you know, there's some people that say that, like, when you go back in, it's just like you almost can't because you're just so used to the independence.
I was definitely used to the independence, but I think it's everything has got its perks as well. So, yeah, one of those is mum's cooking. Like, mum's an epic cook. And so dinners, she even does like a vegan alternative for me, because my dad and I've got two older brothers and one of them still lives at home. Mm-hmm. He'll never move out of home. He loves it. He's got it so good.
It's a good life.
Like, mum, yeah, like, he doesn't pay rent and like mum does all of his cooking and cleaning, and yeah, he's got himself set.
That
good
is
way to save.
You're like, yeah, why would you move? Hotel home.
Yeah, well, I think that's what he thought anyway.
Literally, if you could jump on a plane right now, where would you go?
Oh, Hawaii. I love Hawaii so much. And I think I would, although at the same time, I don't think I've appreciated Australia enough. And I think that's something that 2020 has kind of shown me, is that there's so much more of Australia that I want to see. So even if the international borders don't open, I'd be stoked just for like the national borders to all open and for us to all just be able to road trip around and
agree.
And like sightsee our own country.
Literally. Is there anywhere that you want to go in Australia that you haven't been, like anywhere in particular?
I don't know if there's, like, I don't know what they're called. Pretty much just a whole bunch of different little like lagoons and lakes. I really want to go to see the Pink Lake or the Pink Lakes. I think there's multiple of them over in Western Australia, and some of those like Turquoise Bay beaches and stuff like that. They look pretty amazing. Because I've done Uluru.
I've never been to Western Australia.
Oh, you gotta get. Maybe we should do a road trip.
Literally, I want the borders open because it's our friend's birthday in December, and that's the whole year we've been like, yeah, we're finally gonna go over to Perth, and it's like, no, you're not. But maybe by December
well,
they'll open.
Maybe,
fingers crossed.
Yeah, cross your fingers, touch some wood, you'll be fine.
All right, so now we're going to ask you a couple of Queenie questions. So we put a question box up the other day and there were some absolute bangers in there. But the first one is, everyone's dying to know what happened with you and Harry Styles.
I'm also dying to know.
No comment.
You can't do that to us, Queen.
Don't do it to us.
Did he like follow you on Instagram or something?
Oh, this was so long ago, guys. Literally, like, it was a whole lifetime ago.
You got to give the people what they want. Did you hook up with Harry Styles? We're dying to know.
I love how you say the people.
The people, a.k.a. us.
It came through and I said, get fucked. Has she actually hooked up with Harry Styles? I'm literally so here for this.
Did you meet him?
We're literally not even letting you talk. We're just like, did you hook up with him? Did you meet him? Did you follow him on Instagram? You tell us.
We hung out.
Oh, stop. Was he hot in real life?
That was so long ago, guys.
Doesn't matter. He's still Harry Styles.
Yeah, that's crazy, babe. So what, he just followed you on Instagram and like slid into your DMs or something?
I don't even remember. It was literally so, so long ago. It was, yeah, I remember they were on tour in Australia. I didn't know who he was. I had to Google him.
What?
But We hung out, and he was so nice, like absolutely such a genuine soul. So yeah, I can understand why a lot of girls love him so much and were very protective.
Really?
might I add. I got a couple of death threats after that.
Oh my goodness. God. Tell me more. I need to know. So what? You got death threats from like really crazy fans?
I guess so, yeah. But like, yeah, they would have been like 13-year-olds at the time. Like I knew it wasn't actually serious. It was a long time ago.
That's such a cool story. What other celebs have you got in your DMs? Everyone loves knowing those kinds of questions.
This is like Goss Central.
Yeah.
Not many, to be honest. Like you know how I said I'm not into drinking and partying. I also don't really, I don't go to parties and stuff to meet people like that. So not really anyone. Sorry, that's a boring answer.
No, that's all right. Well, babes, you've got Harry Styles, so we're content with that.
Yeah, I think you've reached the pinnacle. So speaking of, what do you have anything going on that you can share about your love life at the moment?
Nada, literally nada. 2020 has been a year of absolutely nothing at all. I'm kind of missing it, to be honest.
How long have you been single for?
Since January. Yeah, I had a breakup in the very beginning of 2020.
Yeah, wow. This has definitely been a tricky year to have been single too with coronavirus, that's for sure.
Yeah, but I know I'm not alone. I think what majority of the people probably were. So
literally. Well, like we broke up with our long-term boyfriends as well in coronavirus. So
feels, girl.
Feels.
I thought you were going to say we broke up with our long-term boyfriend, like one, and I was like, wow, you guys are close.
Yeah, we share a boyfriend.
Share a boyfriend.
We're into polygamy. Yeah. We're sister wives.
Sister wives.
I'd actually do it if it meant that I got to like live in the same house as Nikki forever. I'd do it for sure.
It'd be vibes. The poor guy wouldn't get a look in.
Do you live together now?
We do live together now, yep.
Well, then you can do that anyway. You don't have to be sister wives. You can just live together for the rest of
true.
Your life.
We share a lot of things, but I don't know that I'm ready to share a boy that I'm shagging with Nikki.
Like, I reckon we've got different types anyway.
I don't have any type at the moment. I've got zero type.
Give yourself a bit of variety. Get like a variety pack.
Variety pack. Oh, my God.
And one of the Queenie questions that came through, speaking of your breakup, how did you overcome the heartache after your breakup?
It was hard. Let's be honest. Heartbreak sucks. Cause it's not only letting go of like the relationship and the expectations and stuff like that that you had. And I guess especially as a woman, like maybe that's very generalized to say. But I think a lot of the time we do think ahead as to what it could be and what we hope it to be in the long run, rather than just being able to appreciate it in the now, which was a hard lesson to learn at the same time, but a beautiful one. I think now that I'm out of it, I can see it as a beautiful opportunity to get back in touch with myself and to learn what I love and to remember the things that bring me joy outside of being attached to a certain title or a certain person or a certain expectation of what the future is going to look like. So, yeah, it sucked. And I think it was mostly just remembering to be soft and to go slow and to just breathe. Like literally that, like times of when you're just hyperventilating because you're crying so much or you drop to the floor and you can't do anything for weeks. It was... yeah, a bit of that, and then across with like, okay, I'm gonna start picking myself back up now, and then I'd like, I don't know, go for a run or something, let's say, and I'd find myself like running up a flight of stairs 100 times screaming like in public just because I had so much emotion in me that had no other way of venting out. So it was messy, but I think I just got through it from coming back into the things that did ground me and remind me of why I was worthy of love, regardless of who it came from. So even if it, like coming from myself, that I was full and complete just with that. And that and I said this in the relationship a lot as well, it was that I didn't need my partner. I chose my partner because I've been a very independent person for most of my life. And I felt some kind of, I guess, ego attachment to that concept, to not needing someone but wanting them and choosing to have them around. And then when you go through a breakup, you realize even though I'd said all those things, I softened in ways in the relationship to rely on my partner for certain things, which is a hard blow to, I guess, swallow because I didn't want to believe that I had become reliant on them, but I had. And so, yeah, I don't think there's one thing that I did that helped. It was just a whole bunch of connecting back to myself and going slow, getting in nature, getting nude at the beach, a nude beach, not just the random public beach because you will probably get fined for that. And just, yeah, like putting on good music, just dancing around, getting in the ocean. I love screaming in the ocean. So even through winter, I would go in for like into the ocean and just scream underwater. That helped a lot. Same thing in a pool. Wow. I don't know what it is about water and screaming, but it helps a lot.
I've never tried that. Were you still doing lots of yoga the whole time?
Yeah, yoga, writing, and yeah, just like self-massage has helped a lot as well.
I just went, like as we were saying before, we just went through a breakup as well. And I went away on a retreat for a weekend alone just to try and, you know, find myself, you know, doll. And I took a journal. I wrote like 3 words in it and I was like, I'm so bored. Watch Netflix on my phone. So I actually am in awe of people that can really sit there and, you know, like – journal and like really do those like really like it sounds like
you're very self-aware.
Yeah,
which
and
is
very
incredible.
Wholesome. Like I just watch so much TV. That's how I.
But that might that's your thing though. Maybe.
Yeah.
But do you feel like the?
I want to be more like you, Sujana.
Like I would watch Netflix.
Sujana. Oh
stuff
my god!
Too.
I did it again.
You did it again. It's not Sujana. Well, like sometimes you need distraction.
Yeah, people coop my name all the time, and yes, you definitely do need a distraction sometimes. But at the same time. There's something so empowering about confronting the things that you want to suppress, the things that you just want to avoid and pretend like they never existed to begin with. The things like a breakup or even just like stress at work and stuff like that, it's so easy to go, okay, I'm just going to open up my laptop and watch some Netflix. But it's so much harder, but so much more rewarding and liberating to be like, okay, I'm just going to sit with myself. And sit with any of the emotions that come up. I'm just going to witness them. I'm not going to judge them. I'm not going to give names of good or bad or, you know, this one makes me feel like this and this one doesn't. I'm just going to notice what comes up and then I'm going to watch it move away. And so rather than associating and identifying with the emotion, you can separate yourself from it and understand that it's just something that you are currently experiencing in order to help you to evolve. Or at least that's, I guess, what helped me a little bit.
Great advice. Yeah. Good advice.
Did you find it tricky? Because like obviously you're very public with your relationship. Like did you ever have to like announce it publicly that you'd broken up?
I didn't need to. I think like a lot of people were asking and questioning and I think he got a lot of questions about it too, which are more just like prying when it's unwanted. So, yeah, I think that affected him a lot with it. But at the same time, I guess I can understand why people want to know because they do feel attached to you and it does come from a place of genuine concern and care and I understand that. So I think a lot of the time people say that it's like 80% curiosity and 20% that they actually care. But I think it's probably more like a 50-50 from everyone. It's that they do genuinely, yeah, like empathize with you and they do have concern for you. But at the same time, there is a time and a place for it. And like right after a breakup, before you can even process it, it is really hard to get those questions because you haven't even been able to confront the answers yourself. And so getting through that was one thing. And then I did end up venting on a YouTube video. It was like an hour long. I don't know why anyone watched it, but apparently a lot of people did. And that was more me digesting it verbally and out loud to myself. And then I watched it a couple of times before I actually posted it. And I considered whether I should post it. Like, I didn't necessarily film it for YouTube, but I filmed it with the intent that maybe it would be helpful for other people. So I took a while before posting it and then decided that it did feel like it could be something that could help other people. And that's the intention for it. And if there was any kind of concern or question about whether or not that was why I had chosen to post it, then I would remove it. But that I didn't get any feedback like that. Everyone just said, like, thank you for being so raw and honest and for sharing the human experience, I suppose, because it wasn't like, oh, this happened and that happened. It wasn't gossip or shaming my partner or the relationship or anything like that. It was just, this is what it's like to feel and to be human. And that's a beautiful part of this experience that we get in this lifetime.
Yeah, I just actually Googled your name then, Sianna, and it came up Sianna breakup is one of the things that you can Google. So it must have been really, really like quite public.
I mean, I guess so. I don't know why, but I think everyone just kind of has some kind of intrigue into things like that. Isn't it weird that that's a part of our human conditioning? But it does seem to be, doesn't it?
Mm. Oh, absolutely. Like, we've even found that since that happened with us, it became something very interesting to
other people,
our listeners and stuff, for sure.
And like you said, so many people can relate. Like, I think you doing it on a YouTube video, you know, like the same thing kind of happened with us. Like, we were just getting so many questions and we kind of felt like, you know, we have to just set it straight. So we're like, the best way to do it is just kind of like, I guess, say it so that you don't, you know, like we did it on our podcast so that there's no one else that has to talk back to you. You can just say exactly what you need to say and then just leave it at that. I think that's like
Yeah,
I can understand definitely why you did the video.
Yeah.
Wow. How are you going now, like post breakup?
Oh, I'm great now. It took a while, didn't it? I mean, you guys are probably the same. But yeah, once you start to, I guess, find your inner joy again, it kind of just unfolds from there. And then before you know it, you don't even remember what it was like to be in that relationship, and you look at that person and they're so unfamiliar to you. And it's just,
isn't that the weirdest thing? Literally the weirdest feeling in the world.
Yeah. Someone who used to know you better than you know yourself. Literally. Now is just a complete stranger.
Well, even just like someone that you know, like you just knew kind of where they were at all times. It's so bizarre.
It's really weird, hey.
Yep.
Does he still – he obviously lives overseas, though. That's one, I guess, bonus. You don't have to worry about running into him.
I guess so, at least in 2020, at least until the borders open, yeah.
Oh, my God, literally.
Maybe you can give Flick Harry Styles a DM and a hook back up with him.
I think he's got lots of better things to do, girls.
I don't know, Sianna Banana. I reckon you could be in here.
Flexi Sianna Banana. I think you might be a bit of a catch doll with that beautiful, luscious long hair.
I think you might have just made me my new email title, Flexi Sianna Banana.
Yeah, write that down, people.
I love that.
Put it in your Instagram bio.
You should actually DM Harry Styles because you'd already be in his DMs. Like, do you guys ever still chat?
You should actually DM Harry Styles.
I will. I'll do it right now. But he doesn't ever reply. I can't even get the bloody honey badger to reply to me, doll.
Yeah, we always play Truth or Dare in our podcast, and one of them was to DM the honey badger. You know the honey badger that was The Bachelor a few years ago?
Yeah.
And it's so funny, we DM'd him.
But we know him as well, and he's fully leaving me in the pig pen.
Yeah, he's leaving Nikki in the pig pen, and then we ran into him the other day outside of our favourite restaurant, and we're like, what about how you haven't even replied to Nikki's DM? And he's like, oh, crikey, I don't know, did I leave?
Crikey.
Did I not reply? And we were just losing it. It's so funny.
Was it the honey badger that you ran into, or was it Steve Irwin?
Are they even two people or are they one? Yeah. I don't know. Crikey, I don't know. Oh, that is gold. Oh, well, babe, I think that's honestly all we have time for today. But thank you so much for joining us.
You're an absolute legend. I know, ray of sunshine.
I needed your positivity today.
I'm sending you a lot of telepathic electrolytes and hugs that you don't want.
Oh, I'd take a cuddle from you.
I'd take a cuddle from you too.
Okay. All right. I'm sending you the cuddles then.
You're in, Dal. You're in.
Well, thank you so much, babe. And we look forward to following the rest of your journey. Yeah.
Where can people get your book?
One more question. What's next for you, babe?
Oh, I have some exciting things in the pipeline. That's what's been keeping me sane here in Australia over winter, actually, is that I've been working on a couple of really big things, which I can't actually share with you just yet. But, some exciting things in the works, let's say that.
I'm excited. I feel like during COVID, that's like been the silver lining. It's like I feel like a lot of people got very productive during COVID, which has been awesome.
I think it went one way or the other. I think it was like some people decided to get really productive and like use it as a year to just like grind. And then other people are enjoying the slow kind of, snail paced lifestyle. So a bit of both for everyone, I suppose.
Like forced relaxation time almost.
Yeah.
If I have to.
Literally. Well, thank you again, babe. And we would love to – we'll keep following your journey.
Yeah,
and,
for sure. And I'm going to be doing that little tip that you shared and opening the book every day with an intention and seeing what you serve me, doll.
Oh, yay. I love that.
Oh, a final question. Where can people buy your book?
So it's available in Australia at a couple of the main – bookstores, so Harry Hartog's, Dimmicks, and then at Kmart, Big W, and Target, and internationally online as well. There's a link in my bio if anyone wants to find it.
Beautiful. All right, thank you so much, babe. Have a beautiful day.
Have a beautiful day.
You too. Bye, girls.
This podcast is part of the Spin Studio Network. Stay up to date with us. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast, leave us a review, and follow us on Instagram at we_the_wild_ones. Cheers, babes.